So hi, welcome to Noise Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with...
I am Brad from the band Locket.
All right, some questions to say about the upcoming album, Superluminal. Congrats on that, by the way. How do you feel about the response, the announcement so far?
Response has been cool. It's been weird because we started writing this record like 3 years ago.
Goddamn.
So I feel like when you sit on songs for so long, you're like, are they good? I don't remember if they're actually like cool or not, you know?
Yeah.
So it's almost like giving them new life, at least for the band, which has been pretty sweet.
It's awesome. Well, the album rocks.
Oh, hell thanks. Yeah. I fucking thank loved
you.
It.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. So is there any meaning behind the album title or cover art?
The cover art, I don't know. It's so funny. I think the cover art was figured out before we wrote a single song. I just had like that image drawn up on Photoshop for I don't know how long. And I spent maybe 2 out of the 3 years of the pandemic trying to figure out how to make that happen, like actually
sure.
get those big ass speakers and light them up with reflective tape and everything. I think I just wanted something that looked bombastic. I don't know. BC Boys were like a huge influence and in, like a lot of imagery, even with our like reflective suits and some of the music videos and stuff. And then, yeah, for the album name, like I said, we started writing this 3 years ago. So, you know, when we were, I guess, 27, 28 years old, I make this joke and I've said this to a bunch of people. We wrote the record as guys with girlfriends and now we are like adults with wives and houses and thinking about having kids. Like so much happens in that 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's a lot of wording in the record, the album name especially, just kind of like, you know, highlight how fast things can move, and the speed at which like your life snowballs almost in your late 20s. You know, all these things can get put on pause with the pandemic and stuff like that, but everything else is still gonna, you know, accelerate at the rate it does for everyone else.
Absolutely. And when we're talking about the cover art, was this like a once in a blue moon thing where you like had it before the album was even written, or is that typically how it goes for you guys?
It's not typically how it goes, although it's usually something at least I'm thinking about like right from the jump. Mm-hmm. I have the ideas. I'm not like able to execute the visual stuff as well as the people that we collaborate with and work with. So I know it's easier to get, you know, the ball rolling ASAP, get the ideas out there to make sure everyone's on the same page. So if it does take, you know, a year plus to make something happen, like it's not a stressful endeavor.
Fair enough.
Gotcha.
So can you tell us a little bit about your writing process for the album?
Yeah. We engineer and mix and produce everything ourselves. So the writing kind of happens in tandem with recording, which is like a blessing and a curse, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
We have the luxury of kind of opening up the studio and writing at 2 a.m. if we need to. But at the same time, when you have like, you know, the keys to the machine, it's a dangerous thing to do when you get demoitis and then you can tweak every little thing over and over and over again. And there were definitely moments where we were ruining songs, in my opinion.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, and especially when there was no release date in sight at the time, it was kind of just navigating like, all right, well, how do we want things to sound? You know, your tastes change within 12 months sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, make a full circle moment where you think, oh, you know what? We don't need all that extra shit we were throwing at the song.
Yeah.
So it was interesting as well, because for the first half of this, Corey, who's our guitarist and primarily like our main engineer, he mixes everything for us.
Mm-hmm.
He was living in Brazil for a while because his wife is from Brazil. So it almost put me in a position where I didn't want to have everything on him. Like I didn't want to burden him with like taking on so much when he was already, you know, experiencing all this cool stuff in Brazil.
Yeah.
So this record is probably the most 50-50 split between him and I, not just songwriting, but actually like producing in the box and stuff like that. So that was kind of neat. Cause I've done that with other artists, you know, bouncing songs around and stuff, but then, to be able to do that with your own band was kind of different.
All right.
Sure. So how did you guys not drive yourself insane? Because as you said, you had the keys to the studio 24/7. How did you know when to stop? When to say, hey guys, hands off, we're done.
The honest answer, we don't usually.
Okay.
It usually takes someone getting frustrated or like maybe an argument. I think we've gotten better like the older we've gotten. We don't really argue, but
good.
You know, I I can feel pretty defeated sometimes, or it's like, fuck this. We spent 12, 14, 16, 20 hours on this and it sucks. I hate it.
Oh, yeah.
So it almost helps. Like, we have to constantly remind ourselves it's a good thing to like pump the brakes and walk away. You
Absolutely.
know, I know a lot of people will sometimes write music and then after the day they've written it, they'll not come back to it for a couple of weeks, which is something I'm not very good at, but I think it's super useful. Because like I said, now with the songs coming out, I probably haven't listened to the record in full in over a year, you know? So it's almost like a new appreciation for things. And even in the writing process, that's usually the best way to go about it.
Absolutely.
For sure. Makes sense. So what song off this album took the longest to write, and which one is your personal favorite?
Longest to write. That's a good question.
Thank you.
I have like little blips where I remember some things and remember or don't remember other things doing this record because it took so long. I will say that I think just like the really rambunctious rock kind of songs, those took forever because like I said, we were bouncing stuff back and forth, like recording right into our computers and you know, sending it to Corey. And then we'd have a finished version of the song and think, oh, that doesn't, something sounds weird about it. So then he'd come home and then we'd meet at the studio and reamp the entire record, all the rock stuff, and think, oh, something still doesn't sound right. And it, you know, took our dumb brains to realize, oh, we should just probably stand up in front of an amp and play guitar because this is a rock band essentially. So it was just funny walking that line between like, you know, overproducing and just like doing stuff how we would have done when we were 20 years old and didn't have the know-with-all to produce records. So I think like a song like I think a song like Killier, and even Sonic Bloom, like those were the first couple like riffs we started writing, but it just took like so long to get it right, in terms of the Sonics. And then our favorite song collectively is probably You and I. I think that's the That's it feels the most different, I think, from the rest of the record and maybe what our band's known for. But for me anyways, it feels like the most like myself and it feels like the most like I think everyone else. Even when we just kind of rehearse that song together, it's like, oh yeah, this feels right. And this feels like who we are as, you know, 30-year-old guys that have been doing this for so long.
Yeah, makes sense.
So with that being said, like that's kind of how you guys feel as 30-year-old dudes. Is that kind of where the project is going to be going in the future, or is that thought not even been had yet?
Not necessarily. It's funny, like people have asked us, you know, what's been the inspiration for this record? Even like, you know, my in-laws have said, oh, the new stuff sounds like a little different than the last stuff. Not too different, but a little different. And I think the biggest inspiration for at least this record was, you know, our band 10 years ago, when we were safe to say. I think that not necessarily just the music, but just the way we were going about writing music and not overthinking stuff and, you know, realizing, oh, if I pick up a guitar and try to write a song and it's just two power chords that change back and forth, like that's not a bad thing. You know, we're maybe When I was in my mid-20s, I think, oh, it's not deep enough or something weird like that. But I think just like appreciating, you know, this is who we are, this is how we write music. So yeah, even though a song like You and I sonically sounds so different, I think it's just that mindset is what we'd like to carry forward. Whether it's, you know, I want to write like a straight up punk rock, you know, four on the floor or whatever kind of a song. If it feels authentic and it feels natural, I think that's just the way to go forward with it.
Okay, so it's the
Makes
mindset,
sense.
not necessarily a
Yeah.
sound.
It's the mindset, which I'm sure like maybe pisses people off, like irritates our fans. Because you know, we'll still get people saying, oh, I wish you were still doing the emo grunge stuff, or
Oh,
oh, I wish this
brother.
was more pop punk, or oh, this is like it's too this and not enough this. But whatever, man.
Exactly.
The old stuff's still
Whatever.
there.
What? Yeah, whatever.
Exactly. Go listen to it if you want.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I say.
So how'd the track list for the album come about? Did you guys write the opener for the opener, close it be a closer? Did you shuffle around and see what fits? What was that process like?
The closer, that was the last song written, to kind of just like tie a bow on everything. Yeah, in terms of the rest of the track listing, that's also something that we like try to keep in mind as we go along, as well as like having some sort of variety in like, you know, the peaks and valleys of whatever we're putting together when it comes to like doing a full album. Yeah, I think Sonic Bloom, just because it like fucks so hard. I think that was collectively the track everyone at the label thought like, this has to be single one. This has to be track one, which was fine. So then from there, I guess like most people that haven't heard the record yet, there's like a whole intro to the album as well. That was originally part of Sonic Bloom. But you know, you got to play the streaming game. So we had to lob off that 25 seconds to separate it.
Yeah.
But yeah, as soon as we knew that was the first song, we knew we wanted to have some sort of like opening moment to the record, which was cool. Cause that again is like not I guess, typical emo band sound, that little intro. And we collaborated with a friend of mine. His name's Chris LaRocca. He's like he's a wizard for one. but he's like an R&B artist slash producer who's like done a bunch of top 40 stuff. You know, he's got tracks with like K-pop artists like Stray Kids, and like he's got cuts with Summer Walker and Bryson Tiller and stuff. But he came up in the emo hardcore punk world with me,
awesome,
a teenager. So we could like speak the same language but kind of apply the stuff that all of us are into now. Which was really cool. And I think that little intro is going to be a fun thing to share with people.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. That's fucking awesome. So would you be able to tell us where your headspace is at while you're creating this record? I know you said this was written like 3 years ago, but if you're able to kind of reach back in there, that would be awesome.
Yeah, initially, like it kind of changed throughout that process, which when you're trying to make something cohesive, storytelling wise, at least, you know, we're a band that likes to have everything kind of make sense if it's going to be on a body of work together. It ended up being something that was a little easier to navigate than I thought, you know, here and there throughout the record. But when we started, you know, we had just put out the last record. We couldn't tour, like shit was crazy in the world. You know, people were getting sick, and all the music that was coming out at the time, which fair enough was like a reflection of how people were feeling at the moment. But I almost wanted to do the opposite because I was stuck inside, away from my friends, away from everyone for, you know, the better part of a year or two. So I thought, you know, just because we're like a quote unquote emo rock band, I guess you would call us, why can't we just write something that's like fun? Because I'm actually like very fortunate to have my health and to have, you know, the people that I am able to see and stuff like that. And I was just sick of listening to sad, depressing shit, I guess, during the pandemic.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
So that's something we wanted to try to achieve, you know, in a way that didn't feel like corny.
Of course.
You know, our version of happy, our version of, you know, I guess, grateful for the things that we have when it comes to thematically what we're writing about. And then with that said, like, you know, a year into writing the record, or like 6 months into writing the record, I got engaged, our guitarist got married, like all this other shit started to happen. So then it took this shift from just, you know, trying to write positive music to write positive music to actually having like more substance behind all that stuff. As well as like looking at the band from a different perspective. Like, what does it mean to be in a band when you have a wife? What does it mean to be in a band when you're like exiting your 20s and you're no longer like the relevant generation, right? You might have a perspective that not everyone necessarily connects with, and like you're seen when, you know, most people I think in this world are either in their early or mid 20s. So it was interesting to try to find a way to still make things somewhat relatable, but not like sacrificing, you know, where we're at. So a lot of this is kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like reflecting on the band's career, I guess, more or less, at least for me. I don't even know if my band is aware of that, but I think once you have that in your mind and you listen to the record, it's very obvious that I'm kind of contemplating like, where do we go from here? You know, we've all expressed internally like this band is like this amazing thing that we have and have been able to do for like 10 years of our lives, whether as Safe to Say or Lockit. But it's no longer the priority, which I think is like the coolest thing, because being in a band can consume like every second of your life.
Yeah.
And it's, it's honestly really nice to know that we're able to still do this and have support and have an audience. But like, if we don't have that, it's not like our life falls apart and it's not our whole identity anymore, right? Like, we're family men, we're, you know, people with careers and jobs and stuff like that, that still like ride for this scene and are happy to support other bands and go to shows and stuff like that. Yeah, it's like pretty introspective, I guess, in that sense.
Yeah, it's awesome when like you can finally get to a point in your career where like the band almost becomes like the side thing, but it's not like a
Yeah.
local band. It's like you
And
guys can still go out and like do your thing if you wanted to tomorrow
yeah.
and people would come.
Oh yeah.
Totally. And it honestly, it makes you appreciate it so much more because I think, especially at our level where we've never like, you know, we've never been in a position to headline or do anything like that. I think when you're younger, it's super easy, and I know everyone does this, and if they're saying they don't, they're full of shit. But when you have friends in other bands that you see they're doing this and you're kind of doing this, it's really easy to play the comparison game and, you know, stay up at night and think, what the fuck? Like, why do they have this and why don't I? And is my shit not good enough? Or like, what am I not doing right? Where that's really like not at all how the world works.
Yeah, no.
So it almost like removes that element, or like that thought process completely when you realize like, yo, it's all good, because like there are people that don't even have the luxury of being able to like buy an instrument, or have people in, you know, they might live in a super rural area, or you know, in a place where there's not a, like not a lot of people into the same music as you, where you can't start a band and stuff like that. So like there's these little things that you start to become aware of. And then going back, you know, if we're, like I said, we were writing music with the mindset of being 20-year-olds. Well, like if I was 20 and I were to tell myself, like, you're gonna play Warped Tour, you're gonna tour Europe, you're gonna sign to labels like Sidewind Dummy and Fearless Records, and you know, you're gonna have an audience, like, is that good enough? Like, obviously any 20-year-old be like, oh my God,
Yeah.
yes, it's
Holy
all I've ever
shit.
wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. I
Fuck
love
yeah.
that. So how do you recommend your fans to listen to this album for the first time? Should you do it in the car with friends, in the dark with headphones on? Is it a workout album, party album? What do you personally recommend?
I know I said it's happy stuff. I don't think it's a party. I think
No.
it still bums some people out.
Just a couple, maybe.
Yeah, or it just like might not be the vibe. Maybe put on like the Barbie soundtrack or something.
Crazy ass suggestion, but sure, yeah.
Yeah, dude, that
It goes hard.
honestly, it goes. It's
Oh
so
yeah, it goes hard.
good. Yeah, I don't know. Like, consume it however it feels right for you. I'm very much like sit down and listen to a record person, but maybe that's just because I make records. But also, you might just be a person who likes listening to guitar riffs. So in that case, like, sure, play it in the car.
Yeah, fair enough.
Fair. Awesome. So this one should be super, super quick off the top of your head. I want you to describe this album for new listeners in three words. No more, no less.
Three words.
Three
Only
words.
three.
Colorful,
Okay. Ooh.
dynamic,
Ooh.
sparkly. I don't know. Is
Damn.
that
Yeah. No, I fuck with that. That's awesome. Hell
right?
yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh yeah. So in that same train of thought, is there a certain feeling or emotion you want listeners to have while going through the album?
No, I don't want to tell people how to feel when they're listening to our stuff.
That's fair
Yeah.
enough.
There you go.
Yeah.
Point blank. So, are you able to touch on any particularly challenging or standout moments from the creation of this album, positive or negative?
On the logistics side, we blew up an amplifier and had to wait for parts from Russia during like when the war was starting to happen. So
Awful timing.
that was awful timing. It was like, I think it was within the week that shit was like going
Of
down,
course, of
that
course.
our tech sent us an email like, hey, I got some good news and bad news. Good news, we got the part. Bad news is like there's a war going on now,
Yeah,
so
we might not be able to get
might be a while. Yeah, it might be a little bit.
the part
Yeah. And then yeah, I think the other side of that that might have been difficult was just, you know, we had worked so hard to make sure that the music was authentic. And like I said, when you're going through so many changes, like in that period, especially when you're writing from something personal and you're not only trying to make it relatable for the audience, you're trying to make sure that your like band like is on board with it as well, right? Because you might all be on the same page musically, but like if you have different ideas of like how you should be living life, and you know, if that's what you're writing about, You want to make sure that everyone's like there with you. So yeah, just making sure that like everyone can be on the same page, and making sure that, just because I'm in a different place 2 years into writing the record than I was 2 years prior, and like a very different place, making sure that progression is noticeable, or that progression makes sense, I guess, to whoever's listening.
Makes
Absolutely. sense. So for this question, I want you to picture you're on tour, you're at a gas station for a rest stop. What is your snack of choice?
Oh shit. This is my bandmates want to kill me every time they are either dozing off, sleeping in the van, and I have gone in to do a snack run. I'm half Filipino, so if I have the opportunity to get chicharrones or pork rinds or anything like
Ooh, yeah.
that is like, it's like a probably 2 years worth of sodium in a
Oh,
little
100%. It's worth it though.
but it
Worth
wakes everyone up instantly. Like as soon as they smell me open the bag, like, what the fuck, Brett? Like
it.
you couldn't wait. Like
That is an awful tour snack. Awful,
yeah, but
closed space.
you know, it's like a little taste of home for me, which is nice.
Exactly. So that makes it worth it.
Yeah, and then we have like a super, I'm not picky. Like I will eat anything at any time of the day. I'm not above eating anything. I will try anything. Like I'm down to just consume food. Our guitarist is celiac, so he cannot eat pretty much everything you guys offer in the States. Our bass player has converted to Islam, so he doesn't eat pork product or anything like that, and he's got like a sensitive stomach, and our drummer's just fucking picky. So Taco Bell is usually the safe bet, believe it or not, as crazy as that sounds, because they offer gluten-free stuff. They offer veggie stuff. It's like, as weird as that sounds, I know that's usually like a trip to the bathroom, but it's the safe trip.
Yeah, I was a Taco
Damn.
Bell hater for a while, but I've come around now. I
And
fuck with
dude,
that.
glad. Taco Bell in the States, amazing. Taco
Those
Bell in
soft shell
Canada
tacos.
sucks.
Oh,
It's
for real?
expensive.
Oh, how is making Taco Bell expensive?
I don't know. I think maybe it's a government thing not wanting people to consume crap, but
Yeah, they need to fix that.
yeah, it's like the luxury of going to the States. And this is so sad too, but to be a bunch of grown men thinking, oh, I can't wait to get Taco Bell dollar menu. That's something we genuinely look forward to. And I'm sure Corey would be the first person. Like his order is always hilarious. He'll say, yeah, can I get 8 hard shell tacos, please? Like 8? Yep.
Yep.
8. Then can I get, he'll add on to the order
Of
because
course.
you just can't eat fast food at home, basically.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're stocking up.
Taco Bell is the only place here that at least I can still eat lunch for $5. Because I just get the spicy soft tacos. I can't get it with all the like beef on it and shit. I just load it up with lettuce because I'm vegan. But they still fill me up because of the potatoes, and it's
Hell
five
yeah.
dollars
Those
for a couple of
potatoes.
them.
Yeah, those potatoes, man.
That's a spot. Sometimes every once in a while we used to do the Chipotle. I don't even remember what the trip was, or like what the little trick was. You would like say, I don't know, we would lie and be like, yeah, we're like with a Christian group or something, and we're looking to feed. Like there was something we used to be able to say that a bunch of bands put us onto, and they would just give you like free shit. We used to do that like when we were younger. We stopped doing it because we were like,
The morals.
it's not that good, and it's not worth the it's not worth the anxiety of like, am I an awful person? But in like at least our little community of bands, that was like the go-to thing to do. If you found a Chipotle, you would like do the spiel about like, we're, especially in the South, we're a touring Christian band and we're blah 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 blah. And they would always be more than happy to like
To
comp your
comp
meals.
it. Damn. You need to dig that up so I could use it.
I
I'm
know.
a
I need to figure
Christian
out what that is. I'll
singer.
let you know. My name's
Hell
Joy. I'm
yeah.
a Christian singer.
Exactly. It's all fun and games until they ask me to sing. Then it's just like, oh well, vocal rest. Fuck.
Exactly.
So on the topic of food, if the band was a dish, what dish would the band be and why?
Oh, easy. A chicken shawarma platter.
Ooh.
Easy.
Oh.
Because we all live so far away from each other, like Corey lives 5 hours away, and between Corey and Joey, there's like 7 or 8 hours. So when we do get together, which is not often, there's a shawarma place near Corey's house. And I don't know if it's because Ottawa is like a government city and they take in like a lot of like immigrants and stuff. But the like I don't know, the Mediterranean food there and the Palestinian food there and everything is, it's like unmatched.
Yeah.
It's,
Oh,
if I come home to Toronto and order a shawarma, I'm like pissed off every time. So I'm like, what the fuck? This isn't right. Like, this
yeah.
doesn't make sense. So
Exactly.
that's it. Someone asked us once, like, oh, if you do your records yourself, like, what happens to the record advance? I'm like, buddy, it goes towards the shawarma. And we have probably had thousands of dollars in shawarma platters over the last few years.
Dude, hell yeah. I fucking love shawarma, so
Yeah.
that's perfect take, yeah.
Oh, yeah. For the last couple of questions, we're going to shift completely away from music and go straight to death row.
Boom.
So, if you're on death row, what would your last meal be with drink?
My last meal would, without a doubt, be a Five Guys burger, Five Guys cheeseburger.
Expensive ass meal.
With the fries in the bag, soaking it in grease. And
Cajun or regular? Very important question.
Cajun's good, but sometimes they like really put too much of that shit on. I'm like, I just want to eat a French fry. I don't want
Exactly.
to
And then
like
it just
be
starts
stuffed.
hurting. Exactly.
I didn't want Cajun seasoning with a side of fries.
Yeah,
Exactly.
and I don't know, I don't really drink like pop or anything, but I feel like a Dr. Pepper is like the way to go out.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds good. So if you could live in one fictional world for a week, where would you live?
Fictional world for a week.
For a week.
That's a good question.
Thank you.
You have a lot of good questions here. I like sometimes you do these things and like you know the questions are just like I don't know.
Yeah.
This
Copy
is
and
more
paste.
interesting to me than like the typical band stuff.
Appreciate
Thank
that.
you.
Yeah.
It would be cool. It'd be cool to be in like a Truman World scenario as like an actor.
Oh.
Where you like you're kind of aware of what's going on. But to just like I don't know, I feel like that'd be interesting.
That would be very
I don't even know,
interesting.
does
I've
that count
never heard
as an
that
answer?
one.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's cool as
What do
fuck,
people
though.
usually say? Do they usually say like Hogwarts or like some
Literally, in that tone of voice as well. No, yeah, it's usually like Harry Potter, Star Wars, and SpongeBob. Those are like top three that I can think of
SpongeBob
right
would be
now.
pretty cool. I feel like Harry Potter, it just looks like wet.
I mean, it
It's like
is
dark and
fucking,
wet all the time.
yeah.
yeah, it's the UK. It's
Yeah.
always raining
Yeah.
there.
And then, yeah, I don't know. Star Wars, like they have crazy weapons. Like that seems dangerous to me. I don't know.
Just a little,
Yeah.
I'd say.
So I've thought of asking the last question. Every single person we've spoken to have said that it is the most important question. What's your favorite color?
My favorite color. I don't know. Maybe purple, green, pink, purple. Anything on the pink purple spectrum. I'm wearing a pink shirt right now and a purple t-shirt underneath. So.
Okay, are we locking in purple? Because you said like four different colors.
Let's lock in purple. We'll
All
lock
right.
in purple.
All right,
Great
sounds
ass color.
good.
Love it.
So as I said, that's all the questions we have today. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
I don't know. When does this come out? Does this come out after the record, before the record?
Closer to the record.
Closer to
Yeah.
the record.
Yeah.
Go download the record and listen to the record. We were informed that we don't get vinyl unless we get on the road, and it makes sense to do that because I guess shit's backed up and very expensive. So if you want to listen to the record 500,000 times front to back, then you can get vinyl.
Woo!
Oh
Sounds
yeah.
like that sounds fair.
All
Yeah.
right. Well, thank you for signing. This has been Brad from Lock It, and we have been the Good Noise Podcast.